It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And then you can actually use that camera, too.
Okay.
Yeah. And welcome back. We have the amazing, I call it a gift from God, apostle and prophetic survivor in his family of the Holocaust, Ken Klein, who's teaching what I consider a modern version of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and prophecy that gives us a vision of what God wants us to do and where we've been. In the if you want to call it, earth realm and the spirit, and also where our destiny is. And this is important to get this vision because Ken's vision of what I see going on and where things are going exactly fits with mine that God has demonstrated. And I don't know anybody else is teaching this in the world. Certainly not in the secular religions, not in the political systems or any other group. And it's important to understand that, you know, and basically God's way is the only way. I tell people the only way to do good is to do God and add an extra O. So let's get into it. I'm not sure which topic you want to cover first, but let's roll.
Okay, well, I guess for me, in light of that kind introduction, I'm just like anybody else. I got to live this life, and we're all in this world together, and we're all struggling, and we're all trying to see. And I think that's what's happening with everybody. We don't necessarily see very well in this world. We don't hear from God very well, and we're caught in this amazing cauldron, and it's not easy to be here on this planet,
right?
And to try to find your way. My heart is to help people find their way as I'm learning how to find my way. So I'm in the same boat as everybody else.
Right.
I think that there's so much going on now in the political realm that people are focused on. And mother-in-law watches Fox News 3-4 hours a day, and I don't know how anybody can take all that because it's so discouraging and depressing that her diet is pretty much it's a diet of sadness and remorse and difficulty. And I would just have to leave the room. But it gives you an idea by looking at that of how chaotic a place this world is. And I don't think we have a really good handle on why it's like this. I'm certain we don't, collectively in humanity, and even those that are somewhat enlightened don't really get it. But it all comes from a cataclysmic event that took place. It wasn't just a football game or something. It was like over a period of universal time that this took place, this event. Mm-hmm. And it was a war in the heavens. And that war, without getting too much into the detail of it, has come to this earth. And we are watching and experiencing hell on earth. War is hell. And it's conflict, and it's difficulty, and it's struggle, and it's violent, and it's vile. And that's the world we live in, and it's very pronounced here in our country. In the political world, we see it, beheadings in other parts of the world and hatreds and all kinds of things going on. But it's a fallen world we live in, and we've got to figure out how to navigate this world with some sanity. So I try to bring sanity to the table. Now, when you speak of the table, I don't think there are very many places that give you the nourishment to help you see. I mean, it's like almost wherever you go, it's warmed over goulash if you go to church. Like, are you really getting the food you need to keep your eyes bright, or are we just barely getting by at best? And so the story of manna in the wilderness is a great story about the importance of collecting food every day so that you have the energy to walk through the wilderness, which this life is a wilderness. And sadly, there's not very good food or drink to be had. The word of the Lord is rare in this day. It's almost non-existent. Even when you go to places that name the name of Jesus, the food is very paltry and weak and without substance. Today, in our country, all you have to do is go to the airport and sit there for a minute and watch the people walk by, and 70% of the people are obese. They're just overweight. Why? Well, they're just not getting very good food. They're eating stuff that doesn't have the nutrients in it to give them the food
they're getting insulin resistance
to their body.
I call it diabesity.
So that's a good metaphor of really the spiritual reality.
Well, they're spiritually obese too, aren't they? You're not getting spiritual manna, good high quality manna food for their soul either, right? And
I would say
you're a manna farmer. You provide manna to the people. Go ahead.
So that's a problem for us, and then we don't even know where to look. You know, you go to the markets today, and it's even hard to find good food there. Everything's packaged and processed, and so much is based upon taste and sugar that even in the more acceptable marketplaces, we don't even find good food. It's hard to find good food to eat in such a way that your body is nourished properly. Well,
right.
Take that to the spiritual side of it, and it's the same thing. I went to a church here not long ago, and it's not a singularly pointing it out, but it's like everywhere. They were actually trying to teach on spirituality by using Disneyland cartoons. I'm going, oh my gosh.
You're kidding.
This is disgusting. And I had to leave. I went, I could never attend here. This isn't food. This is nonsense. This is entertainment.
It's a form of easy believism. I call kindergarten believism, right?
Yeah. And so you where do you get any food so that you can grow and have stature? And that's what I'm trying to do, is help people see. Now, today, when you look at what people are investing in or believing in, as far as it goes with the political world, there's a lot of people that have no idea that they're headed for disaster. And because they're listening to people that are godless and they're gainsayers and they're right. Hateful of authority. And these kinds of people shouldn't be listened to, because their end is going to be what the Bible calls hell. No, we don't want to talk about hell. That's not pleasant. That's not a good idea to talk about that. That's, in fact, a lot of people don't even believe in such a place. When Jesus talked about hell, he called it Gehenna. And Gehenna was a place of burning. It was south of the Dung Gate, which was, today the Dung Gate is in the southern wall of the old city. But that's not the original Dung Gate. The Dung Gate was actually maybe a quarter to a half a mile farther south than that, because the temple was built over the southeast ridge. It wasn't even built over the Temple Mount. A lot of people...
Exactly. It was down near the Springs of Gihon, right?
Yeah, well, actually, the Dung Gate then was actually farther south than the Gihon Springs. The Dung Gate was through the southern wall of the wall.
Southern wall, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that was the Valley of Gehenna, and it was a place where they burned garbage. That was a garbage dump, and they'd take stuff down there and burn it. It was called Gehenna, and it was a metaphor of another type of burning. Now, most of our ideas of hell are based upon pictures that were painted in the 14th, 15th, and 16th century by artists that had a very minuscule idea about hell. But those pictures framed the idea of what people think is hell, or don't want to think about what hell is, because they really don't... explain the right picture of Gehenna in the spiritual dimension. Now, I'd like to try to tackle that image, so people get an understanding of how serious this is. Now, and try to contrast, if we have enough time, with the word Elohim, which deals with the angelic realm. So we have a contrast going on here. But first of all, we have time to do both. One of the things that you find, and this kind of goes to the new, I don't want to say products, I hate that term, but the two resources I've created in my book, The Deep State Prophecy, and the film, The Deep State Prophecy, of the same name, that just came out, where people can get it for free, Dr. Bill,
Yeah, you got that link up on your site, which is kenkleinproductions.net, right?
Yeah, if they go there, just click on it. In fact, if they click on Ken Klein Productions, they'll find me. He's the first on the search engines. But it's important that people watch that film. But nonetheless, in the story of what we call the beast, which is this seven-headed, ten-horned, not a real creature, but something represented in symbolic language. And then in the second beast called the false prophet, which I don't talk about in the film, but I do talk about it in my book, which is something I want to get into later. But just for the discussion's sake concerning this Gehenna, we find in the book of Revelation these two entities in the lake of fire.
Right.
They're in this lake of fire, and that's what God uses to destroy them. Now, people think, well, you know, the beast is the Antichrist, so there's a man in there, and then the false prophet is his, co-worker, and he's some kind of man, probably the Pope or something like that, and he's in the lake of fire. But neither of those are true in terms of the application of the meaning of those symbols. The beast is a system of empires that existed from the Egyptian era all the way to present in the United Nations. And the false prophet is something that's a revelation that was given to me in the 1980s that I put in this book, The Deep State Prophecy and the Last Trump, that is present, but it's not a man.
Right.
And so these symbols represent codes. So these codes are, it's almost like if I created a book and I didn't want you to read it, or anybody to read it. I just wanted to get rid of it, so I threw it in the fireplace and burned it up. So I burned up the book. The idea of the book might still exist, but the book itself doesn't exist. That's how I want people to think about this lake of fire. The lake of fire is like a giant incinerator, okay? And what we see in that incinerator in the beast and the false prophet, which are basically codes, is the burning up of the existence of them in code form. So God destroys things in this incinerator, but remember his dimension is spirit. So he's got to destroy things in the spiritual dimension, and then they no longer exist on the earth. So when it comes to people that choose to walk away from Jesus or never accept him, they're setting themselves up for the lake of fire in this respect. Because before we ever existed in human form on the earth, we existed in the mind of God, or perhaps, if you want to think about it, in a spiritual existence. And in that spiritual existence, we exist as, in a sense, the same way the false prophet and the beast exist, in a written form, where it's been written in the heavens. So the idea of us or anyone, forbid me for saying us because I don't mean it that way, for anybody to be without the blood covenant upon them, they're risking never having existed. In other words, being so destroyed by the incinerator, it's as though they never were.
Exactly. Like in other words, it's annihilation. Right.
Yeah. So what's worse, burning forever or never having existed? To me, never having existed, having your life meant nothing, you weren't even here, is what the lake of fire is. It's a giant incinerator that destroys everything in the spiritual dimension. And so that to me is more fearful. Like, imagine everything you did or everything you said or everything you were never happened.
Right.
That's frightening. And that's what people are facing when you look at what's going on in the political world, who are so into debauchery and wickedness and lying. They're facing the total annihilation of their ever having existed in a spiritual sense, so that their physical reality never happened. That's what the lake of fire is about. That's what Jesus talked about. That's why he said...
Exactly. In other words, God is the creator, but he's also the destroyer, not the devil. He's a perverter. And God wants to rescue them from that, because when grace ends, judgment starts, right? Amazing, amazing times we live in. And not only are people in danger, but also nations and our world. Back in a moment.
difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Legacy Emergency Foods is the top recommendation from Dr. Bill Deagle. For the lowest oxygen concentration, the largest entrees, the highest amount of protein, the most varied entrees as well, and the longest food storage life. Nothing like Legacy Emergency Foods, and if you place a regular monthly order, you get 20% off and free shipping. Do get emergency foods for your supply for preparation and get it from Legacy Foods. Contact Dr. Bill Deagle for the link at NutraMedical.com. Go to the Shop by Products link and drop down message at NutraMedical.com and then place your orders for regular emergency food for yourself and your family. Nothing like emergency food if the power goes out and you can't go to grocery stores or if there's an emergency or a national crisis. So NutraMedical.com, top recommendation, Legacy Foods. NutraMedical.com, go to the Shop by Products and drop down menu and stay well with NutraMedical every day of your life. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with you, providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bell provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapies throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bell can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutraMedical.com. And listen to the NutraMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutraMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
steel being shoved to the fire to harden me. Birthed 8.5 years ago, and just in January. And each time, God is giving me a deeper revelation of who He is and what the world is about. And welcome back. So you're preaching very, very important information. What you're saying basically is you serve God and have a relationship with God, or else. And the "or else" is big, isn't it? Please continue.
I just listened to when I was in my formative stages, and people would say, "Well, do you want your name written in the book of life? You accept Jesus, and your name is written in the book of life." And I went, "Oh, okay," because I was ignorant. I didn't know. But the truth of it is that everybody is written in the book of life already. Everybody's
right.
Written in the book of life. The issue is, will you stay written in the book of life, or will you be erased from the book
right.
of life? Will you be written out of the book of life?
Right.
And so we have a lifetime here to make certain that we're there. And that begins
right.
with the Lord and allows our name to be accredited, not accredited, but to remain, to abide.
To be guaranteed, you know, almost like sealed with the blood of Jesus, to be eternally sealed in His book.
Yeah, affirmed and made certain
yeah,
that's
right.
where you're to be. So
right.
it's not about your name being written into the book of life. It's a matter of your name being written out of the book of life. That's the incinerator.
Ooh. Yeah,
that
scary,
I'm talking
yeah.
about, this Gehenna.
Right.
That has the capacity to blot us out, blot us out of God's book. Well, who would want that? I can't imagine. So anyway, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. But also, I wanted to talk about this term Elohim, okay? Because I think that it goes to who we are, who our identity is. And Jesus said, when he was being persecuted by the Sanhedrin,
right.
the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they said, "We're going to kill you, man," because he goes, "Why? For what work that I've done are you going to kill me?" They said, "Well, not for any work that you did, but because you made yourself one with God." And Jesus
right.
said, "Well, it's written in your law, 'Have not I said ye are?'" And the word he used is Elohim. Elohim
right.
in the Hebrew means gods, plural. "Have not I said ye are gods?" Now, there's going to be a lot of Christians out there that say, "Well, what are you, a Mormon?" And
right.
no, because I actually drink coffee, so that kind of disqualifies. But anyway, Jesus is using the term there that goes back to Genesis 1:27 or 1:28, around there, where it says, "And Elohim said, 'Let us make man in our image.'"
Right,
and when Jesus was saying that to the Sanhedrin, he was quoting the scripture in the Psalms that said, "Unless you wake up to reality, you're going to die as mere men. But I say you are Elohim." So
right.
here's these unregenerate people fighting with Jesus verbally, wanting to kill him, and he's trying to define them in this incredible terminology. "Ye are Elohim." Well, in most translations, if not all of it, doesn't say, "And Elohim said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" Most translations says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image.'" An unfortunate problem in I think virtually every Bible. It's not Jehovah there where it says God said, "Let us make man." It's the word Elohim. And there's an important distinction between in making the difference between what is Jehovah, which is Yah and Yah, or Yah, I am and I am, or I am who I am, is the word Jehovah, and the word Elohim. Even though there is a Jehovah Elohim or Elohim Jehovah, it's speaking something very profound there in the Old Testament
right.
Concerning this reality of ultimately Elohim Jehovah as opposed to Elohim. There's a difference there. And unless you do a really good word study,
well, that's why the plurality of Elohim is actually referring to the pre-existent collective of the specific class of angels that fell from grace, but God gave a pathway to restoration, right?
Well, Elohim is a really important word that, that has to be really defined by the many places collectively that you find it in the Old Testament, which is over 2,500. I doubt whether there's one person in 100 million out there, there's not that many listening, that have even undertaken the task of studying 2,500 references in the Old Testament to the word Elohim. But just to try to make a point with a sampling of a few of them, let's just take a look at it.
Right.
What does this word Elohim mean? And so, well, certainly in Genesis 1, it has to do with creative ability by these Elohim to make man. So that's interesting.
So in other words, God delegated that the Elohim were going to make man in their image. Please continue.
Yes. Right. It wasn't Elohim Jehovah. It was
right.
Elohim. There's a distinction.
Right.
So the Elohim are created man in their likeness. Now, when you look through different renderings of appearances of angels, let's just say the meaning is angels for starters.
Right.
Like in Daniel 10 or throughout the Old Testament, Daniel sees this angel that looked like a man. So angels, so many of them look like humans. They're not necessarily winged creatures that are manifested to mankind. Most
right.
of the time, they're manifest as men. In fact, in the book of Revelation, John is so taken by the spiritual reality that he's experiencing, and he talks to one of the people there. He starts worshiping him. And the person he's worshiping says, "What do you think you're doing? I'm your brother, just like you."
Yeah.
So here's somebody in the other side.
He actually rebukes him and tries to tell him that something that he doesn't understand about the nature of what he is as a being.
That's right. But now as you look at other places in the Old Testament, because the Christians say, well, Elohim, there's a reference to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why it's expressed as gods. So they're retrofitting a New Testament concept of packaging the Godhead into an Old Testament scripture.
The Trinitarianism, which is, rather than that understanding the nature of the various beings that God created that he delegates authority through, right?
Yeah, but you can't take the Trinitarian idea and apply it to Genesis 1:28, where it says,
no,
and God
I
says,
agree.
So
exactly.
In order to win that discussion over, not that you're trying to be egotistical about it, but to help people see, let's just take a look at some other places where this word Elohim is used in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at, for example, this is a really good one, when Saul, the old king, went, he no longer could hear from God, so he goes to a medium, which was forbidden by the law.
Yeah, the witch of Endor.
And she says, well, I can't do that. It's not right. He says, well, then listen, I mean, it's going to be okay. He talks her into it. And she says, okay, I'll call up Samuel for you.
Right.
So she calls up Samuel, and they see this Elohim coming up from the dead. The term, I saw God, an Elohim, coming up from the dead. So here's the term Elohim that totally rebukes the idea of a Trinitarian retrofitting to Genesis 1:28 coming about. Like Elohim here is talking about some kind of divine person or divine
being.
Samuel, the prophet. Then if you go to Goliath, who fought David, and David's saying, the Lord rebuke you, and so forth, and Goliath says, I'm gonna do this to you, and he cursed David by his Elohim, God's. There's the word Elohim again, now coming to forefront through this experience that David's having with Goliath. Let me give you one more. And they're all over the place, 2,500 of them. It talks about...
Is this in your book or videos? Some of these references are in your book or videos?
I don't know. I can't remember right now. Let me finish this idea.
Well,
but this
continue,
is really important. This is really
important.
This is good.
Continue.
And I probably should do a whole teaching on this that we put in a video format.
We can do a video. I can do one actually whenever you want to, either on Monday, Thursday, or weekend, too. Go ahead.
Okay. But let me finish this one other scripture. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, there's a portion of scripture. It's a 7th or 8th chapter of Daniel, somewhere in there. And it talks about, and even the 11th or 12th chapter, but it talks about this wicked king who would honor a god whom his fathers did not worship.
Right.
And the word, he will honor an Elohim that his fathers did not worship, a god of Allah, Mohazim. It's a reference to Allah. It's a reference to a god of fortresses. But the point of it is, the word God there is Elohim. So here we're hearing about Antioch.
Right. Now, in other words, it's not God. It's a high. It's an angelic power, is what you're saying, or angelic individual.
And so we're seeing that this word Elohim can't be exclusively used to the white, to angelic beings on the good side. It's being used everywhere. The point I'm making out of all this is that Jesus is calling these Sanhedrin Elohim, but he said, if you don't wake up to reality, you're going to die as mere men. You'll die in your sins. So what does this mean? What does this mean, and how are we supposed to look at this? And this has a great deal to do with the war in the heavens that we mentioned at the beginning of the program, that there was a war amongst the Elohim. There was a war in the heavens, and those Elohim were cast down onto the earth and took on human form. And that's why Jesus is saying, you are Elohim. And they didn't know it because...
Yeah, when he said that actually to the Sanhedrin and the Jewish rabbis, they wanted to curse him because they said, you know, why are you saying this, right?
Yeah, and you're saying you're making yourself equal with God. He wasn't saying that at all. He's trying to define the divinity of these people that whose names are already written in the book of life, that they're about to be written out of it. And that's why this age is so dangerous for everyone.
Right.
But at stake every day is your identity. Is it going to be Elohim, or is it going to be a mere man? And every day we're called to walk and grow in our true identity, which is spiritual. We're spiritual beings encased in these bodies that are deteriorating. I just got a call 2 weeks ago from my people to take care of my mother-in-law in Oregon, and she was struck down because she's 90 with a seizure that came from something that happened 4 years ago, reoccurred because she took a flu shot, and now she's lost so much of her memory. These bodies are deteriorating. They're not our real bodies. There are temporary bodies that we've had to take on.
Temporary temple, if you want to call it, right?
Yeah, it's because we were involved in that war in the heavens. Our memories have been wiped. We can't recall it. And we're here in these human temples. But God says you have a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. And that's where we're going. And we have a destiny to civilize the heavenly realm. The Father's house is the universal construction. And to do that, we have to be able to travel at great speeds that these bodies can never... People say today, well, you know, we get to Mars. Well, that's a joke. I mean, really, that's the best we can do. No, we can't even hardly do that. The moon, maybe. But our destiny is to go into space, but not in these bodies and not in these identities. We get a new identity. And Jesus said in Revelations... He said, I'm going to give you a new name. Nobody else knows it. It'll be written on a white stone. And I'm going to write my new name on it. So even Jesus has a different name. So in this life, the Father had to come here to redeem a lost race of Elohim, a fallen race of Elohim. And he did it. He pulled it off. And in this world, he came in the flesh. He had to come as Ben-Adam, son of man, because he had to go through what we have to go through so he could minister in the heavenly tabernacle in prayer for us. But also, he had to acquire his Son of Godship through his journey and the difficulties he had to face in overcoming temptation. So the Son of Man became Son of God. Not that he already wasn't written in the heavens that way, but he had to go through this track that we have to go through.
Right. He had to create the way. That's why they called the early church was called the way, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Amazing stuff, amazing stuff. Thank you. We'll be back in a moment with in 4 minutes.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day. And welcome back, and please continue this amazing discussion, Ken.
One of the things that's mentioned in the Book of Corinthians, it says, though we have known Christ after the flesh, because he was here with them, yet now know we him no more. What were they saying? Well, when the Father came here in the Bene Dom of Jesus, he came in the flesh.
Right.
They knew the Father in the flesh in the sense
right.
that he was Jesus. But Jesus' name on earth means Savior. He came as Savior. That was his earthly office, the Savior.
Right.
And so that's why in Revelation it tells us, behold, I give you a new name. I'm going to write it on you.
Right.
I'm going to write my new name on you. Because in the dimension that he now is in, he that's not his name anymore. Well, we appeal to the throne of God in the name of Jesus, and that's fine. I'm just trying to say that he had to come as Ben Adam, had to come in the form of man to conquer what we could not do because the law was absolutely a curse in that there was no way to live it. So do this, but you won't have the ability. So God did that because he's trying to explain to us the untenable situation that we got ourselves into as a result of the war in the heavens. I'm going to have to give you a satanic body, a body that is cursed, a body is lawless, and I'm going to give you my law to try to demonstrate to you that there's no way back to me by doing it this way. That's why I got to give you a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. But in the heavens, he's not Jesus. That's why they're saying, though we have known Christ after the flesh, i.e. Jesus, yet now henceforth know we him no more, because they're attesting to his heavenly identity now. So this is the walk we're on, and that's why as we fulfill our overcoming through him and through the Spirit and through the blood, we attain to a different name, which is our identity. So this whole life is really about who am I? Who am I?
Who am I in God's will, in other words?
Yeah, and who I am as a son. You know, when I say who I am, and like, what kind of person am I, do I want to be? One of the things that the Scripture says is that we are citizens of Zion. Zion was thought of in different ways. Mostly, it is ascribed to Jerusalem, you know. But there was a Mount Zion pointed out in Deuteronomy as Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon was called Mount Zion. It says it right there. So what is that supposed to mean? If Jerusalem is Mount Zion, what is Mount Hermon? And what does Hebrews mean? We've come to Mount Zion, a habitation of the angels, where men's spirits are perfected. And it's talking about where God's presence is. That's what Zion is, where God's presence is. So you are Mount Zion, I am Mount Zion, in the sense that God's presence is within us. We're the tabernacle, we are the temple of God. So we're the Zion of God. And so we have to decide every day throughout the day when we're confronted with the dynamic of life, because life is not static. It's constantly externally changing, creating new scenes for us to live through, decide who we're going to be in any given situation. Yesterday, I was backing out of a parking lot, and some guy drove up behind me, and I banged into the side of his car. And, oh, man. And he got out, and I go, what? He goes, what do you mean, what? You ran into me. And I said, oh, my gosh, I wasn't really blaming you. I was just sorry it happened. And it totally changed the guy, because he knew that he was wrong, because he drove up behind me, didn't even see me, and he was ready to go to war. And I thank God, I just had the sense at the moment to say, you know, I just really felt bad that I hit you. And he goes, oh, that's right. That's all right. Don't worry about it. You hardly got to scream. He drove off. But I did more damage to his car than to mine. I didn't hardly do any damage to my car. The point of it is that even though there's a temptation to want to cuss the guy out for doing that, I chose the right pathway in terms of who I am. I was sorry, man. Whatever the damage is, I'll pay whatever.
But I'm going to extend a little further. One of the things God stopped me, and it's in the book of Psalms, is we need to pray for our fellow man and woman and those that are fallen, because there are brothers and sisters that are under the grip of evil. And in fact, God showed me that if we don't pray for them, especially if there are leaders that are controlling us, then God permits them to continue crushing us with judgment until we pray for their salvation, right?
Yeah, and it's very easy to get angry at Nancy Pelosi, man. I mean, oh, lady. right. and others, you know, that are they're written in the book of life. They're in very grave danger of the lake of fire, which is to be as though they never were. And look at who they think they are. I'm sorry, but, you know, your identity is about to be snubbed out. Not
right.
you may live to 90 or whatever, but when you're on the other side, you're going to face the reality of probably getting snubbed out of every
existence.
So think of it's like frightening. I had a daughter who married my son and a daughter-in-law, and she decided to leave Jesus. Once saved, always saved. I guess it wasn't true for her. Well, she never was really saved. I mean, it's like the arguments are nonsense. She
right.
made a willful choice to turn her back on the Lord and do whatever she wanted to do. And I'm just going, oh, my gosh, you have no idea what jeopardy you've put your existence and your identity
right.
into. So life here is about who we are, and we see it in our in the Lord, who came as Ben Adam, even though he's Son of God, and then his name was changed when he went into the spiritual dimension, and he's a forerunner for us, an example of what is in store for us as the sons of God, and his name written on us. He said, "I'll write my name on you. You'll never go out of my temple." And that's amazing. And so we're destined for space, to go into space as representatives. Our mission's barely started, you know.
Right.
We have so much ahead of us in terms of
it won't be boring. We're not going to play harps
and
doing boring things.
And,
right.
and mission and ministry.
Right.
It's a phenomenal thing. So we hardly have scratched the surface. I've reached a milestone yesterday, Bill, in that I summited a mountain, you know. It says, you know, we'll move mountains in Jesus' name, not literal mountains, but this was a mountain of technological climbing that I had to get to through my tech guys, where we finally got my film, The Deep State Prophecy and the Last Trump, on my website in such a way that now it's totally free.
Wow.
And available to the world now for free. And I wanted to do this because I am very supportive of President Trump. I believe
right.
he has been appointed, even though he's flawed like I am and you are and everybody
right.
is. He's been called to hold back the lawlessness.
Right.
And he needs prayer. And so I wanted to make this film free so people would understand.
I'll tell you what, I wanted to get my contact. I want to make a contact, very desperately for other reasons, but one of them is to make sure you and Trump have direct conflict, contact and discussion and spiritual blessing, because the man needs to be prayed for, and in a sense he's a fulcrum point, not just for America, but for the people who think they're saved and are not yet fully in a relationship with God, and for not only the nation of America, but the whole world. So we need to pray for people like Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and Barack Obama and people that we know are doing things that are not right. But if we don't pray for them, we're going to suffer under them. That's the word I get. If you don't pray for those that are your leaders, that do things that are wrong, that harm you, you're going to suffer under them. Right?
Yeah, and I agree with that. And that's why this book I wrote, What was it? my mind just switched off. The Unforgettable Tree is so important because
right,
it brings us before
tree, yeah.
the throne properly
right.
and releases us from the condemnation of guilt, because we every day, you know, we face the problem in our conscience that we've sinned, and that the cleansing that's necessary to go to the throne of God and pray with the audience and ear of the Almighty Father. Imagine that. So we have great access to the King of the Universe, created all things, and he's far more powerful than Donald Trump. But nonetheless, I wanted to make this film available so people could really understand the danger and depth of the deep state and begin to help them have a more elevated understanding of time, human time, and what's been going on here for some time that's brought us to this hour where there's such depravity. Once you see that, I think you would be really stirred and motivated to
yeah.
do your part, to pray and to vote and to get this message out to,
right.
to the multitudes. Because most people, this is just really a fundamental of teaching in my film, and
yeah.
I hope we get to get it out all over the place.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do very very best to make sure it's all over the world, to get more promos out, to get to the people. And to be honest with you, we are in deep apostasy. Not only our nation, but the so-called religious groups all around the world. They're off in their own easy believism and their own specific cul-de-sac of their religious belief system to make them feel good. I call it hell insurance. And they don't realize their name is about to be dangerously removed from the book of life because they're not doing God's will. They're not shama'ing, in other words, hearing and doing. That's the word shin means to hear and do the God's will. And it's not simple. People can't take away sin by doing good works. You have to do God's works, and he takes away sin with his blood, with his way. That's why the church, for the first few centuries before the Catholics took over, was called the way. It's the way back to God, isn't it?
Yeah, and Jesus said, they asked him, what are the works that we should do? And he said, believe.
Right.
It's work to believe. And that's the work of God, is to believe on him who God sent. And so much of the work is what we accomplish through our own faith in our inner man. It's our spirit that needs to be healed so that we're prepared to go into the heavens and to establish the heavens. I mean, can you imagine? We can't even fathom the universe. I mean, it is so immense. That even doesn't help us comprehend it. But
one of the things that God said to me before he sent me back from heaven, he said, no, there's many things you're not allowed to say yet until the time of the end, and we're getting close. But one thing you can say, which I've said even to the nuns back 60 years ago, to the Monsignor, the Archbishop, and even sent it on to Rome, was our universe, our galaxy, there's more galaxies in the universe, in our known universe, in our local universe, than every grain of sand on every beach. And this entire universe is an elemental particle in a water molecule in a butterfly where God is still God. In other words, as above, below, God is beyond dimensions of time and space, beyond size. God is beyond all levels of knowledge and wisdom. There's nothing to compare to God. That's why my favorite book in the Bible is Job, because God said to Job, who was a man of God, my ways are higher than your ways. When they were trying to, the dark side was trying to tempt him, Satan, remember? He went before the throne of God trying to tempt Job. And what people need to understand is every day is a temptation to use our own ego and our will and our ability to discern good and evil. You can only do what I call God, add an extra O to do good. You have to actually use the theorem and some of the stones in your own spirit to say, God, is this right? Yes or no? Please give me a vision or dream or send someone my way so I don't do the wrong thing or make the wrong relationship or not pray for people that are persecuting me or praying for situations that I need your will to do the right thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it all comes down to recovering a sense of your identity, because when you begin to walk into the reality of who you are, which Jesus defined, well, then you find yourself doing the right thing. It's not even something you have. It just happens. Yeah. It's almost like a de facto reality. This is who I am. This is what I do.
The three word pictures of Hebrew letters on the white stone that God is your name and he calls you. Amazing time and seasons we have, and amazing discussion today. We got to do a lot more of this, Ken. We'll have you back on soon. Let's get you scheduled, and let's do some video, too, to get this out to all the people of the world. And now, KenKleinProductions.net, you can see this video free. Amazing. Thank you. God bless everyone listening. May the Lord God bless those who do evil, that they will turn and not be taken from the book of life.